Today I want to talk about mastery of self. Most of us want what we want, when we want it. I'm no exception. We associate having it with achieving happiness. The tendency to view happiness as something outside of ourselves causes us to look in the wrong places and do wrong things. The current scandals related to men sexually abusing girls and women is part of the pattern of, you have my happiness and I'm going to take it from you. I blame all three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, for this abuse of females and believing the conquests, physically, politically, sexually, and economically, of others leads to happiness. While the title of this talk is Mastery of Self, I could easily have done a slight modification of my path and called it The Failures of Religion. When you look at what Israelis are doing to Palestinians, what Christians are doing to everyone not exactly like them in the United States, and what Muslims are doing in the Mideastern Europe with indiscriminate killing, you see the failures inspired by religions which promote superiority and dominion of males over everyone else, superiority of one religion over another, with accompanying cruelty. Look at your life in your early years, and you will notice that you were mostly trying to be obedient, since that was the primary emphasis of people bigger and more powerful than you. Toilet training was about mastery of self, but it was focused on mainly for the convenience of others. It was good for you to master table manners, and again, the focus was to not embarrass your parents. Fear and obedience. Obedience and fear are harped on by parents, religionists, educators, and other authority figures. Christ and Christ's Return stresses that the emphasis should be on helping the child to understand instead of being trained to react to, do what you're told to do because I told you to. The U.S. has a competition-oriented culture. Being bigger, better, stronger, smarter, faster, richer, more powerful, etc., etc., is the mindset instilled in us and in our children. I never received training in certain subjects such as balancing the self-interest of others with my own, or even in how and why to be kind, or my role in contributing to my family, or the responsibility of protecting my family members. When you're part of a family, these lessons should be taught in Family 101. Instead of Family 101, I developed into an impulse-driven, my-needs-first-and-foremost kind of person. My personal survival was my focus, even though I had older siblings who looked out for me and cared for me. I was skilled in selfishness. When a child or adult spends the majority of their effort satisfying their impulses while putting up walls of attitude to protect themselves, no investments in the idea of mastery of self take place. Everything is felt to be out there. Happiness comes from mastery of self, not acquisition of stuff. Stuff is momentarily satisfying, but it doesn't establish a foundation for personally growing into self-mastery. I suppose that mastery of self involves the ability and willingness to choose a higher viewpoint in each and every circumstance. It would be easy to say that love, unconditional love, is the highest viewpoint, but even if that is out of reach, being kind, considerate, joyful, respectful, bonding, accepting, gentle, having a sense of humor, etc., are all doable. We need not stay stuck in the lower emotional states. Mastery of self would include the awareness of when a split energy is competing to drive our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions with fear and pain as their motivational energies. Feeling what you feel and knowing what you are feeling are keys to self-mastery. Otherwise, we won't know what is going on with our moods and behaviors. We will be in the dark, confused as to why we feel the way we do. It's one thing to behave like a bull in a china shop, but adding a blindfold to that bull magnifies the damage that it can do. When we engage in any activity, we can choose a viewpoint and intention. If we choose the mindset of growth, we can focus on what we can learn during this activity that we're engaged in. If we choose the mindset of self-protection, we will act hesitantly, lack full commitment to achieve, maybe stop forward progress altogether. Both of these mindsets can be overshadowed by the belief that our happiness resides outside of us in some magical product, some magical group, some magical process. If we fail to see the self as the creator, we have more problems. Thinking someone else created the missing ingredient that once we add it to our lives will result in our happiness, health, success is delusional. If we knew how creative and causative our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions are, we would devote more time developing our talents in these areas. The emphasis would be on our own consciousness and not on the stuff that we wanted to have. Creating for more than just our own personal satisfaction would be the natural outcome for a person who has understood the concept of abundance and the needs of others. The limited view of self, though, tries to convince us that we, as individuals, alone matter, not others. The ego's job is to protect the person's individuality. Unfortunately, instead of seeking mastery of self as the path that would be most effective, the ego resorts to seeing others as threats to both our needs and our desires. And then it wants us to battle those threats, to suppress them, and even kill. Nowhere is the ego's influence toward violence more pronounced than in the United States. We have a culture of violence. We love violent sports, like football and hockey. We love violent movies. We're violent toward women and men, and particularly women and children, and minorities. Our country became white because of the white man's violence towards first Americans, African slaves, and any other nationality that tried to stand in the way of our grabbing of land and power. Our religions, using the Jewish Bible and the Christian Bible, justify our male right to dominate women, children, and non-believers. Massacres, torture, etc., were considered ordained by God, so how could they be bad? Within the last couple of years, somebody said God gave Israel to the Jews, so it was their right to displace Palestinians. And I'm sure this idea of slaughtering first Americans and Africans when the missionaries got there, all toting Bibles, this explains it. This gives me license. A great step, great because it engaged the masses in meditation as a means to mastery of self, was the introduction of transcendental meditation at the end of the 1960s and early 70s. TM wasn't for individuals interested in controlling and changing their family, friends, or acquaintances. It was for changing the self. In the world of books and trainings, self-improvement is a multi-billion dollar industry. There is good news and bad news in that fact. Growth and self-improvement, healing and repair, are natural. That's the good news. The bad news is getting what you want is the main emphasis. More money, more power, more sex, more influence, etc. are the goals of much self-improvement efforts, not the mastery of self. We don't have mastery of self role models that draw us to this path. As a child, I wanted to be like Christ, which meant many things, including suffering, being tortured, being ridiculed, being judged, and then being crucified. The subtext was, "Be perfect, like Christ, and you will suffer terribly and die horribly." Raise your hands if you'd like to volunteer for this. Not many hands would go up, and mine didn't either. The Dalai Lama, an amazing person, doesn't work as a role model because he is definitely different from the rest of us. We admire him, but we don't consider him the role model that we are capable of emulating. There is an electromagnetic field around every living creature on Earth, including human beings. This field has been called auric field or aura, biofield, force field or field of force, and perhaps by other labels. All things are electromagnetic. Thoughts are things, so guess what? Thoughts are electromagnetic. It is known that in human testing with instrumentation in laboratories where sociologists and psychologists and others are checking to see the impact of certain things on individuals, that changing thoughts can change the electromagnetic field of the test subjects. They can see it on the oscilloscope type instrumentation. People consider memories, another form of electromagnetic energy, to be inside the brain. In recent decades, though, it's been discovered that memories exist within the cells of the body. I believe this and more. I believe memories exist in our field, in proximity to our physical bodies, not just within our physical bodies. Now, if this were true, our memories of ourselves, happy and successful, sad and failing, proud, ashamed, healthy and ill, all still exist and could be accessed if we wanted to. With one memory of us displaying mastery of self, we, by dwelling on that single memory, can habituate this characteristic and shape our identity. Almost as if we were putting on a wardrobe of clothing to attend an event. We've played a lot of parts and roles in our lives. Those parts and roles don't have to be occurring willy-nilly without our conscious choices. We can choose them. People usually have no problem making a list of what they want, but that list would almost exclusively consist of items outside themselves. It would be like a child's Christmas list. I want this item, and I want this toy, and I want this car, and I want this house, and I want this TV, and I want this, right? The question, what do you want to be, would be more thought-provoking if they were forced to enumerate the characteristics, and not just a title of what they wanted to be. I want to be a medical doctor. That's an insufficient answer. What characteristics would you be? Now, we would be defining the nature of that person's electromagnetic field, what they would radiate, and, of course, what they would attract. A simple and direct way to see an excellent choice right in front of us is to listen to this ending prayer. We could choose to understand our source of being and then learn to express its characteristics as our own. That would be mastery of self. This is the pluralized version from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life. You are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.